My name is Eban Brown, former lead singer of the Stylistics, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Entertainment.
Now, it's a true delight to be talking to the renowned singer-songwriter, Eban Brown. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, many of your fans will know as a lead singer for a number of legendary bands, but not least the Delfonics, The Moments, and for the last 18 years, the Stylistics. But you're about to embark on a new tour. What prompted you to go solo?
I've always recorded solo music, even going back to the days of Ray Goodman Brown and The Moments, because that's how we were set up, you know, myself, because I was supposed to join the band originally as their guitar player, but when they found out I could sing a little bit, you know what I'm saying, they pulled me up front, so I became a part of the lineup for like maybe 2.5 years. And, you know, I'm just always, you know, as a singer and a musician, you're going to always have that knack to want to go out and express yourself musically in the most decent way as possible, because there's ideas that, you know, you couldn't necessarily get through it to a group, but if you do them yourself, which I was blessed to be able to get in the studio and sing all the harmonies, do the leads, and do all the music, like Marvin Gaye, you know, or like Prince, you know. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, yes, because that's right. Because you did start off as a guitar player, didn't you, with them? But
absolutely.
The vocals came.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously,
yep, I never got a chance to do a show with them. They took my guitar from me and brought me up front.
Oh, brilliant! Well, you can't get better than lead, can you?
I mean, right.
You've been asked to join the Stylistics, obviously, in 2000. How did you become the lead vocalist on that situation?
Well, you know, the Stylistics and myself, one of the original members, I know them all five originals, but myself and Herbert Morel, we were friends, you know, outside the group. Like if I was with the Delfonics or the whatever group I was with, if we were on the same show together, we toured together, we always were the ones that hung out, you know, after the show, so to speak. We keep in touch with each other, you know, at our homes and things like that. And, you know, being that we were friends over the years, they knew my capabilities. It wasn't a thing where I had to, unfortunately, I didn't have to audition, you know, because they already knew my capabilities. And,
yes.
And that's how it happened. They asked me would I join. This was April of 2000.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the thing
and
is,
at first, I thought they was joking.
No, well, I mean, you've got such a lovely, silky voice. And, of course, they must have heard that falsetto, which is stunning, that you've got. Did they know that? They knew that talent before you joined?
What you said, did they?
They knew about the falsetto vocal ability.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when Russell left, which is the original lead singer.
That's right.
They already knew, you know, my capabilities, because we used to hobnob together and sing and throughout the backstage dressing room, just messing about, so they knew I had the sound, and I tell you, it was totally unanticipated that I would be with the Stylistics. If you had told me that 20 years prior, I would have thought something was wrong with you.
Obviously meant to be, though, wasn't it? I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it was in the cards.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, because the Stylistics, how did you feel, you know, with all that history of Russell Tompkin Jr. singing, how did you feel when you took the lead? How did the audience react?
Well, you know what? You know, it's a very interesting question that you asked, because, you know, it was kind of, you know, at the time I was 27, okay? So, you know, as young and enthusiastic as I've been then, you know, nothing really bothered me, although I knew that I had some work to do. You know, when he left, those were some big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because the reactions that we would get, once they called the Stylistics out on stage, they see the two guys, two originals go out, and then when they see me, they would sit back like, hey, what's going on? Where's Russell? But when I opened my mouth, they were amazed. So
yes.
this went on for like a year. This went on for a year. At that time, people was begging, borrowing, and stealing just to come see the Stylistics' new lead singer. And me personally, you know, it was a honor for me, because, you know, most groups, you know, unfortunately, when they bring in a new singer, you know, a lot of times they do it to spite the original person, but that wasn't me.
No.
My thing was, I'm gonna try to help preserve this man's history, but at the same time, I'm gonna put my own flair to it.
Yes,
as I go along.
Mm.
So believe me, it was an honor. It was, and I talk to Russell every now and then, and he's You know, we're, matter of fact, him and I are tighter than ever. You know what I'm saying? We talk on occasions, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. Wonderful. It's a wonderful homage, but it's your own unique take as well. But when I've seen you on the videos, you know, really amazing. You really have preserved that sound. So, you know, well done to you for that. But I mean, you hail from Newark, New Jersey. You're a singer-songwriter. What first got you switched on to music? When were you bitten by the bug?
Oh man! Early on, I think I was bitten from the womb. my father, God rest his soul, my father was a musician and a singer. He was a guitar player. I learned how to play guitar from him. I learned the basics from him, and then I started hanging out with advanced people that played my same instrument. And I learned, you know, I learned from keyboard players, I learned from drummers, I learned from bass players because I played bass first, and then I went on to the guitar. My dad was so cool. And growing up, you know, our fathers, little boys, yeah. Our fathers are like Superman, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to be just like him. He was so cool and collected, and the way he strapped that guitar on and started playing. And, you know, I watched him. And just like, you know, as a little boy, you're 4 or 5 years old, you know, you're like a sponge.
Absolutely.
You absorb everything. You see? So that was me. So, and when it came to him, he was a very great mentor in my life, you know, as far as like, I mean, he brought me up in it, and this is what he wanted me to do. He didn't want me to go to college. He didn't want me to get a job. He wanted me to study my music. That's what he wanted me to do.
Wonderful. You know? What a wonderful thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like Glen Campbell with his father and so many
yes.
people. They've all looked up to their father, and it's been such an influence to have
right.
family singing. But I believe you were playing guitar and you sang with several gospel groups by the time you were 7.
Yeah, I was thrown in the, you know, my father, you know, he was and we had, he had some uncles that we had a group, a family group. It was a gospel group called the Southern Sons of Columbia, South Carolina. But we lived in Jersey. So they were great singers. Oh, my God. They were my uncles and my father. They were great singers. And we had this thing. They had this thing like with, you know, harmonizing. Mm. Harmonizing was a big thing to them. And if you were on the wrong note, they called you out. So by me being around that atmosphere, you know, today, I'm at a point where, like, if I walk to a rehearsal and let's say the keyboard player is playing one little note, stop it right there. That note, instead of a B, it should be an E. I'm very meticulous.
You get a bit James Brown about it.
Yeah, I got that from them. You know, when I hear something, especially if I hear harmony, it had better be right. Because it's like, you know, that's why I was blessed. I got the ears. You know, I sing, like, when I record my music, everything that you got on me, that's original. That's me singing backgrounds. I'm singing those harmonies because I knew how I wanted them. Same thing with Marvin Gaye. You know, he knew how he wanted his music. So, you know, I just know the harmony aspect. I know the music. I know chord structures. So I know how things are supposed to run, you know.
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, you mentioned Marvin Gaye, but who would you say, apart from your father, were your greatest influences in your life musically?
My influences were definitely, it started from my dad. And you know, and it's funnily, you know, there are some unknown influences from where I grew up at that were, I mean, absolutely great, phenomenal, but they never wanted to take it a step further in their careers. You know, they worked regular jobs and things like that. But I would say on a secular scale, I would have to say George Benson, Wes Montgomery, to name a few, Bobby Caldwell, George Duke. You know, those kind of Sam Cooke. I grew up on Sam Cooke.
Yes. Because you did do a homage or some form of album based on George, didn't you?
Yes. Matter of fact, it's my latest album. The very first song is called Dreaming of You. Those chord progressions are similar to something that George Duke would have done, you know. And he's heard it. He definitely heard it. And we was going to, when he took sick and he had wanted to get with me with it. And to do another version with me and him, that would have been awesome.
Oh.
But unfortunately, he got sick and he passed away. So, but that would have been a definite highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the name of the new album?
The new album is called my latest album is called Summertime in Tokyo.
Oh, and how did that title come about?
Wow, you know, when I before the album came out, you know, it's funny how things just hit you. You know, I'm one of those guys that. If I walk into a Tesco's in England, you know, and I could just see something that can just hit me, maybe based off of the sound of somebody's voice, the sound of somebody's walking, those kind of things that can prompt a melody in my head. You know, some people call it a mental disability, but But, you know, I was in Japan because I've been going to Japan for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
This one year I was in Japan, it was hot as I don't know what. It was so hot over there. It was so hot you could barely breathe.
Oh,
so I remember unloading my bags from the van that took us from the airport in the hotel. And I remember saying to myself, wow, summertime in Tokyo. And I started singing this melody, summertime in Tokyo. You know, I started singing. So I went upstairs right quick. I had my, you know, I travel with my guitar in case I get any ideas on the road when I'm in my room.
Yeah.
And I had my tape recorder. I had a little $2 tape recorder, and I just put the idea on it. And when I got home, I recorded the song. I brought it together and recorded it. That's what prompted me, you know. I mean, like I told you, you know, I get an idea. I get an idea, basically. I can get an idea from talking to you, Suzanne. I get an idea. I may come up with a song called Suzanne.
I'm glad to hear I inspire you.
Yeah.
Well, that's lovely. I mean, well, you were talking about, obviously, George, who sadly passed away, but another artist who passed away was Eddie Abbo. And I understand you performed with The Real Thing for a tour date.
Yes.
What was that experience like for you?
Oh, my God. When I first met Eddie Abbo and The Real Thing, for that much, I mean, these guys, they're from Liverpool, but these guys, oh, my God, they are. I don't know if you have met any of them, but they're dynamite people. They're not only great performers and singers, but they're dynamite people in general. They have a heart. They have sympathy. They have empathy towards one another. And you know, we've gotten close over the years. I met them in 2001 when I did the first Best Disco Tour, Best Disco in Town Tour with Tony Denton, which Tony is now my agent in England. He's my agent.
Yes,
personally. I met them through that, and you know, when I heard that Eddie passed away, because we was working with them over the years before I left the group this past January, and to hear that he passed, first of all, I had no idea that they would even call me to replace. I'm at home. I'm getting ready for, you know, other things, and Tony didn't call me. He said, "Listen," he said, "I need you." I said, "What's wrong, Tony?" He said, "Eddie passed away, and I need you." I said, "Are you kidding me?" So, you know, every time I got on stage at that, they called it the, what was it called? 40 Years of Disco.
Oh, yes.
Every time I got on stage, I gave homage to Eddie. I said, "This is for Eddie. I think you make me feel brand new."
Mm.
I think I dedicated that to Eddie and The Real Thing. You know, I said, those were some dynamite guys.
Yeah,
those
amazing.
Are dynamite guys.
Yeah, amazing songs. It's such a feel-good factor. Can You Feel the Force? I mean, it's just fabulous, isn't it? Really zingy sort of song, just amazing. Now, of course, you've had so many great experiences. You became the lead vocalist for the Delfonics, and you were the first vocalist to become inducted into the Hard Rock Cafe in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is obviously renowned, that Philly sound. That must have been quite something. How did that make you feel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it was surreal for me because, you know, you just don't see things coming your way. You know, that's how I look at blessings of coming at you when you don't see them. You don't, it's just like death, basically, unfortunately. You know, you don't see it coming.
No.
You just don't see it. And it's like, you know, wow, am I really doing this? This is something I always wanted to do. And God answered my prayers. You know, he's took me serious at everything that I tried to do and everything that I've looked as far as putting it together to come to fruition. He's helped me to happen. I made it happen. I'm not one of those guys that will start a project and never finish. When I start something, I finish it.
Yeah, he definitely supported you. He's still supporting you, isn't he? So, yeah.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Indeed,
yeah.
Indeed.
I mean, of course, you've received the NAACP Award as well for your accomplishments. And, that must have been a real thrill. Tell us about that event.
Yeah, the NAACP, you know, is an organization that started back in the 50s, I believe, through the late Medgar Evers. He was a civil rights activist. And, And when I received that award, I had no idea that they was going to even give it to us. You know, I was with the Delfonics. We've all received one, and I'm like, are you kidding me? They're giving us an award? I mean, the Delfonics, they've been around since the late 60s, you know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
I mean, you know, by me being the lead singer of them, that really meant so much to me, that accomplishment in itself. I guess because I'm a black person, I guess, to a, you know what I'm saying? I'm a black person. So that award meant so much to me
to
be a part of that that year. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you also recorded a live album with the Delfonics, Will Hart and the Delfonics, and that was considered the group's most treasured recording. What made it so treasured, do you think, and how did you find recording that live?
Right. Okay. When I was with the Delfonics, it was myself, Wilbert Hart, and Major Harris, the late Major Harris. Because, a lot of people don't know that Major Harris came from the Delfonics, basically, before he came. He went out with Love Won't Let Me Wait. When I joined the group, it was us three, and it was like the Delfonics, I would have to say, that was like the best gig that I've ever done, because it was like, it was so like the togetherness that we had, like the way we harmonized with each other, and we were so flawless together. We didn't have to look at each other on stage.
That's crazy.
It was like, wow, the Delfonics. I mean, the Delfonics, they were the headliners throughout all the soul groups back in the day. You know, for the exception of course, the Motown sound, that was Philly sound. But that became a treasure recording is because they had another lead singer before me, a guy named Frank Washington. But when I came in, for some reason I was able to capture the Delfonic sound. That Delfonic sound, I was able to capture it at that time, and it was like, wow.
Yes, is that ear of yours, isn't it?
And it was funny because I wasn't even trying to copy or mimic. It's just that I opened my mouth, that's what came out. You know, it's like if you're singing those songs, you're gonna fall into the mindset. See, me when I take over from it's just like if I take over of CEO of a company that's been around before my parents were born. Once you do your research of that company, I get into the head of the person that was there before me, my predecessor. That's having respect.
It's doing the homework, isn't it? And having the mindset and the vibe of the place.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
I mean, now, I guess you've worked in bands where everyone becomes like a family, but I believe several of your songs featured your own family on vocals, Lisa Brown, your sister. Do you enjoy working with your sibling? And what are the joys and challenges of working with a family member?
Well, I've always wanted to. My sister is funny because we were children, and I was playing guitar and young. She was a singer. She was the singer out of the siblings, and I was the guitar player. So we used to go around and I used to accompany her on talent shows and even church functions. I used to accompany her on guitar, and I wasn't really, and it's funny because I wasn't really singing back then in those days, but I knew how singing was supposed to be done, being brought up by my father. He didn't play, he had his eyes on you, he had his eyes on you. You did one thing wrong, hold it now, I didn't teach you that, my sister was, and I got an opportunity to feature her in later years on my first instrumental album, which is called Determinism. She sung a remake of Walk On By, and lately she's on my latest album. I did a remake of Peebo Bryson and Roberta Flack called I Just Came Here to Dance. And she sung that with me, and that was awesome. That was awesome because it was the, I've always admired blood relatives, like when Natalie Cole did the Unforgettable with her father and things like that. That was awesome. That to me does something to me,
Definitely. It's going down the generations, isn't it? It's a lovely connection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Definitely.
I mean, your music's so diverse, and you've produced two songs for the rap artist Rob Bass, and you've also worked in the medium of jazz and pop for Master Suite. What is it about those genres that you particularly enjoyed working on of recent times?
Well, in terms of Rob Bass, Rob Bass was like one of the biggest rappers here in the States. I'm not sure about the UK, but he was one of the biggest rappers here during the 80s movement. And when we got a chance, I worked with him with the Delfonics. We produced and recorded two songs with him. It's called one song was called Chillin', and the other one was called Are You With Me? And that featured myself, Wilbert Hart, and Major Harris. And that was a great thing because it's like this. A lot of soul singers or what have you, jazz singers, jazz musicians, they're not versatile. And I look at myself personally, the way I came up, I'm able to transcend over any type. It doesn't matter. Gospel, rock, pop, heavy metal. I can play all of those because I was always urged to learn how to play everything. Don't just jazz is my smooth jazz, pop music. That's my love. Even dance music. I tried my hand at dance music. My love is what George Benson does. That's my protege. You know? I'm sorry. I'm his protege. I'm sorry. That's my mentor.
Yes, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And I've always learned how to. I've always had a love. It didn't have to be what my main genre was. I love all genres, especially if it sounded good and people loved it. I've always been able to play anything.
It's amazing.
And that's a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much a blessing. I mean, Restless Soul is the album, and you've got a new, talking of dance singles, you've got a new single, No Other Love. Tell us about this new single and the inspiration for it.
No Other Love came about recently as well. That's a single, and I have a video on it as well. This is my first world premiere video that I performed on that particular song. That song came about, it's funny, because I was merely walking down the street, and this is seriously, I was walking down the street, and I had this dance beat. I was thinking of England, I was thinking of Europe, and I said, let me do something that, and I went back to the studio, and I just started messing around with some sounds, and plus, the song has a strong message to my lady, my favorite lady. No other, there's no other lover. There's no other lover that can treat you like I can. You know what I'm saying? One before that, I had one before that called "Never Gonna Let You Go," which was remixed by a DJ out of Greece named DJ Stathis. I'm going to Greece next year because of the record.
Oh, right.
And he did an awesome thing. I didn't think that somebody could take something that I created and make it like that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Remixing is great, isn't it? Yeah. Really a different audience as well, which is always fabulous.
Yeah.
You also did another song called "Spend My Life With You." Was that also inspired by your good lady? Or?
Yes, indeed. "Spend My Life," I was going to call that. That's from an album that I did back in 2004. Mm-hmm. I released in 2004 called "Restless Soul." Mm-hmm. Basically, that song was, I think that song sold the album, I think, because it was I was going to call it the wedding song.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me just name it, "Spend My Life With You." And that song has been used in quite a few weddings. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call last week. Someone wants me to sing that at their wedding while the bride is walking down the aisle with an acoustic version. And that's what that is. That's purely a wedding song. It's a love song.
That's wonderful. And I mean, music, you've also composed for charity as well, because you composed a children's song for called "Eyes of a Child," where 100% of the profits were donated to the Great Ormond Street Hospital here in London. So what was it that drew you to do that and for a UK charity?
Well, the Great Ormond Street Hospital, through a friend at the time, her name was Vanessa Bristow, she had came up with an idea. Because she put the tour on, she kind of financed my first big tour in England, going back like maybe 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she contacted the hospital. We had the first show, which was in Barking Theater. Mm-hmm. We had that was dedicated to the Great Ormond Street, and I performed the song and everything. And it's like that was, see, being that I was a child myself, I raised two children of my own. And I feel that, in this world, we don't give enough to our children, because after all, they're going to be our future. They're going to run the world. They're going to be in the positions that we're in today. Going to be in every position of every time. So we need to push our children. That's what I think we lack. And I think that if more adults, if we can just see, not to mention with all the crimes that's committed against children, We need to be very sympathetic, empathetic to children. They have to grow. We have to help them grow.
Yeah, we have to protect.
The only way to do that, we have to look after. We have to protect the children.
Nurture them.
And that's what prompted me.
Yeah, exactly. It's the next generation as well. I mean, you've been a very, very busy person, haven't you? And you've also been on the big screen in 2015. You took an acting role on in the film Looking for God. How did that come about? And did you enjoy the acting process?
I really enjoyed it, and I got a chance to see for the first time how it's done. I mean, anybody that wants to be an actor, they have to prepare to be away from home a lot.
Yes.
Because those sets, you know, they go all day. And that's something that I definitely had a bug for early on, even actually before I've been asked to take the role. I did a TV show in Staten Island shortly before that in 2015. It was called The Vic Turno Show. It was a late mm-hmm. show with Vic Turno. The drummer from the house band approached me because he knew the guy that owned the movie. And he said, you know, you'd be perfect to play the role of a preacher. And I said, oh, really? I said, okay, you know. Hey, I grew up around it. I grew up in it.
Yeah.
I got the script. I read the script. I was like, wow. And you can also find that. It's an 8-minute clip on YouTube that's going around.
Oh, great stuff.
Yep. And it's like a trailer. We didn't finish the movie yet, but I'm due to finish the movie. We're going to start next May, the beginning of... Beginning of May.
In May.
It's going to take us 8 weeks because they want me to do a heaven scene. Believe it or not.
Oh, really? Get your big cloud.
We're going to go up in a helicopter. Look, my insurance is paid up. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, a bit of post-production there. You've done the method, so obviously you've grown up with the whole gospel thing, so you're fine. Now, back to the tour, of course. Now, you know, Stylistics, 18 years you were with them, solo artist. Now you've got a solo tour. And this is obviously, I guess it will tie in with the album and the new songs. Will you be playing some of your new songs as well as some of the classics from those former bands?
Yes. Yes, I will be. I'll be definitely doing a lot of the classics from the Stylistics, which I'm known for, and I'll be doing definitely one of my dance songs I'll be doing, which is Never Gonna Let You Go. That's my finale. See, our finale was I Can't Give It Anything But My Love. That's also in the lineup, but the finale is going to be Eban Brown's Never Gonna Let You Go. It's a nice big dance song.
Fabulous. Get everybody up on their feet dancing.
It gets everybody up, which is like awesome to see that.
Yes.
That you created in your sleep.
Yeah.
Getting people up dancing, you know.
Get that energy back off the audience, which is lovely, isn't it?
Right.
And you've got a guest star as well called Michelle John as well. Have you worked with her before or is she supportive?
Michelle John. Yeah, because she's from, she's from, I think she was a runner-up or the winner from the Voice. From last year, I believe.
Mm.
And she joined up with, she sings with Odyssey.
Oh, fabulous.
She sings with Odyssey. We was on the same tour on the 40 Years of Disco. I had an honor and a pleasure of meeting her, and she agreed to come with me for the, she's only doing I think she's doing my second show with me, which is the Lakeside Country Club in Fremley Green. Yeah, she's doing that with me.
Fabulous. Are you looking forward? Have you ever been to Camberley, Fremley Green before, this venue?
Oh, yes. Over the years, the Stylistics, we used to play, back in the 70s, they used to play Bob Potter's place every year. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm playing it this year. You know, I'm playing this year, and I'm also doing Buckland's as well, you know, in my head.
Oh, right. Oh, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Because you're going to be there on Saturday the 6th of October, aren't you? And you're going to be touring up and down the UK as well, I believe.
Yes, I will be.
Yeah.
And I'll be going to Belfast, Ireland on the 11th, actually, for one day, yes.
Oh, fantastic. It's going to be a whirlwind tour. What are you most looking forward to about coming to the UK and to the tour?
I just love hearing the English people speak with that accent, with that lovely accent. I just love it.
Inviting you for afternoon tea and scones.
Right, there you go. I'm an Essex boy at heart, so, you know.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Audiences are going to have a wonderful... How would you hope they're going to feel after the show?
With the audience?
Yeah.
I hope they tell me, you know what, we're coming back to see you. Is there any more dates that you get coming up? We want to come back. We want to talk to you.
They'll be queuing around the block. I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure everyone is
definitely
going to be an absolute treat when they see your show. I wish you lots and lots of luck with it and huge success with the tour, Eban. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me and lovely time talking to you. And I hope to talk to you again.
Wonderful. And that was the very talented Eban Brown.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.